You know, I got to tell you, I love this church. I just, you know, it's just stuff like that that, you know, and in fact, I have such a simple message today. Let me be real transparent with you for a minute. I have such a simple message that I feel like it can do some harm if not handled properly. I promise you, I never come to this pulpit unprepared. Now, that doesn't mean I always do a good job, but because sometimes I don't prepare well, but I always prepare. Yeah. Who said that? Ireland? Et tu, Brute? Wow. No, it's rotten apples. So I always prepared. And to be honest with you, I take this very seriously. I promise you, I always seek the Lord in everything that I preach. That is my constant prayer, is that God would guide my thoughts, guide my study, everything. And sometimes messages come in advance. Sometimes they're delayed. Sometimes I have to meditate. You know, all these things. There's a lot that goes into it. But you know, but like in this case, I'm sitting there, and my mind just kept going to this one particular passage of scripture, this one verse. And in my mind, I was thinking, well, that's so simple. It's so common. It's so well known by everybody. There's nothing else to say about that, you know. And I came to realize, as I was kind of, you know, trying to see if this is, you know, just kind of praying and meditating and saying, you know, God, I realized I didn't want to do something so simple, and it was because, by Dwayne, and it was because he's already had enough. He looks like Charlie Brown today.
He's,
well, you look, he distracted me. It wasn't my fault. And I was sitting there, I was realizing, you know, and in fact, it was kind of God saying to me, well, since when did this become about how you feel about it? Since when in our history together, when I've given you the incredible privilege of pastoring my people, are you worried about what you sound like giving a message and whether or not they think you're smart and whether or not you've learned something, you know, that they don't know? So I've already been dealt with on this. And it's kind of, but similarly, because it's such a familiar concept, it's a familiar truth, there's a danger also for you to say, well, you know, you just sort of let it go and not do something with it. But you know, I'm responsible and accountable to God for giving a message. We're all responsible for receiving it and doing something with it. So I want to share this with you. So what is this message that, or with this, what is this truth that we're talking about today? Well, it's really very well known. In fact, the lost world, or the, you know, the secular world knows it. They would probably call it, and many Christians would call it, the golden rule. If I just say that, how many of you can kind of paraphrase at least the golden rule? Do unto others as they've done unto you, or as you would have them to do unto you. You know, and it's so the whole world kind of knows it. Matthew said it this way in chapter 7 and verse 12. Matthew said, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. He was basically summarizing all of the Bible they had at the time, all of the Old Testament, all of the first five books, which was their Torah or the law, and then all the prophets that came after that. He said, basically, you can sum it all up this way, you know, that, you know, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Luke said it this way in chapter 6 and verse 31. Luke said, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And so we generally have sort of come to think about this as, well, you know, if I do this to so-and-so, this is what they will then do in return to me. And even the world of science sort of has a handle on a variation of this. One of the greatest scientific minds that ever lived was a devout Christian man, a devout believer in God, Sir Isaac Newton. He, among so many of his discoveries, but he gave us what's called the three laws of motion. The third law of motion being this, when one, basically it's, you know, for every action there is an equal and... So you even know this. You're from junior high science. You know, it's put another way, more closer to the way he said it, was when one object exerts a force on another object, the second object exerts an equal and opposite action back to the first. And so we have this concept that we think, but that's not exactly what Jesus was saying. We have this concept that whatever I do, whatever I want to have happen to me, if I do it to Tom, Tom will do it back to me. If I live my life this way, then the world will respond back to me in the same way. And that's actually not at all what Jesus was saying here. You know, in fact, you know, Jesus, you know, but that's kind of our understanding. There are other scriptures that do sort of talk about that. But the truth is, if that's what he was saying, if Jesus was saying, look, if you know, you'll get back exactly what you give. If that's what he was saying, then, you know, every bully would bully somebody, beat somebody up, and then immediately get beaten back up, and that would put an end to bullying, right? If every bully got beaten up as soon as he beat somebody up, that would put an end to bullying. If every time you gave, if I give Tom $100 and Tom turns around and gives me back the $100, that puts an end to giving and puts an end to generosity, yes? Boy, that would make Christmas interesting, wouldn't it? I mean, that would make Christmas interesting. You know, you kids, I hope this isn't happened to you, and I'll report them if it is the case. If you get socks and underwear for Christmas, I mean, you know, you open up that, you open, they, your mom hands you this gift and you open it up and it's underwear. You just turn around and give it right back to her. No, wrap it up and give it back to her. See, that's how that would work, right? So if you're going to give somebody a gift, you better give them something that's your size. You follow me? See, so this isn't the truth here, and this isn't really how it works, and this certainly isn't what Jesus was talking about. So let's go back and look at what Jesus really said in chapter 31. Notice what he actually says is, he says, as you would that men should do to you, this do to them, or do you to them likewise. What he was really saying was, when the time comes for you to decide how you're going to act, when the time comes for you to decide what you're going to do next when someone else is involved, he said, take a minute and just think. Stop and consider for a minute. What would I like them to do? If roles were reversed, what would I like for them to do? And he simply said, do that. You follow me? So he wasn't saying you're going to get back from them. If you do this, then they will do it back to you. This was a one-way thing he was talking about. He was just simply saying, look, when you're trying to figure out what to do, when you're trying to figure out how to respond to that person, when you're trying to figure out how to deal with that person, that coworker, that boss, that employee, that spouse, that child, that parent, when you're trying to decide what you want to do, how you should behave in this particular moment, he said, just take a minute and stop and consider, what would you like someone to do if they were in your shoes, and then simply do that. Now, that's what I meant by the simple truth. That's a pretty simple truth, isn't it? But somehow we miss that, because we always link this somehow with, well, I'm going to behave in such a way and then I'm going to get that back. So I'll give money because it's going to come back to me, or I'll do this favor for somebody because it's going to come back to me. And that's not really at all what Jesus was talking about. Now, there is a principle similar to that. We call it sowing and reaping. Yes? Paul brought that up later. Paul said, hey, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also, God is not mocked. You know, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So we understand that. But see, that's a really different concept. That's a different thing, because we understand the crops, right? You know, we understand farmers plant crops, but they don't get anything back right away. It takes time, yes? So they plant seeds, they don't get seeds back. They plant seeds, they get crops, a whole different principle. And there's a time delay. It works in the negative too. You know, book of Ecclesiastes tells us why the heart of man is evil. Solomon wrote that because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of man is set to do evil. In other words, if the punishment or the consequences for our actions are delayed too long, then they have no effect. You know, it doesn't do any good to tell a child, to go to a child and say, hey, you know, by the way, you're grounded this week for the way you behaved in church 6 weeks ago. Right? It doesn't work like that. You know, it doesn't help. So there's this concept that we're dealing with today that really isn't about what is coming back to us, but it's about we should do what we would want done and have nothing to do with whether or not it's going to come back to us. So here's the thing. So the question then becomes, so why do it? So why do it? Why should I be good to somebody? They're not necessarily going to be good back to me. Why should I, you know, for example, why should I let somebody cut in front of me in line at the grocery store? I mean, it's not like they can return the favor, right? It's kind of that Christmas gift thing. I mean, why should I let somebody cut in front of me in line at the grocery store? This happened to me. There was some young lady was carrying. She did what I do a lot of times. She thought she wasn't going to buy very much, and so she's like this, and it's like, go ahead, and you know. But why should we do that if it's not like they can turn around and let us in line and back ahead of them? That wouldn't make any sense. We would just be standing there. It wouldn't do anything. When there's no reward possible, why should we do that? You know, why should I be kind to somebody who I'm pretty sure is probably not going to be kind back to me? Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody who it doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter how nice you are, they're not going to be back to you? Yes, I see you, Harold. And there's only one Harold here today. Look, you know they're not going to be nice to you. So why should you be nice to them? Why should we be generous with somebody that's never going to be generous back to us? Why would we do that? Why should I be fair? Why should I be fair on social media with somebody who I know is not going to be fair with me? Why should I tell a more fair account of what happened instead of when I know that person's not going to do it? Why should we do all of that? If the principle that Jesus is teaching is not about doing something in a certain way in order to get it back, then why do it? Why should I give my husband what he wants if he's not going to give me what I want? Or my wife what she wants if she's not going to give me what I want? Look, these are questions that we don't speak them. But let's be honest, those questions go through our heads sometimes, right? We're going to find out why. We're going to find out exactly what it was that Jesus did mean. It gets to a very fundamental question that I believe every child of God needs to wrestle with and decide, this is what I believe and this is how I'm going to live my life. And it comes down to this: do I need to be compensated in some way to do good for somebody? Do I need to be rewarded? Do I need to have something good come back to me? You know, the world calls it karma, right? Mm-hmm. Is that really necessary? And why would I? Okay, Julie, the answer is not yes. I mean, well, there is, but it's a different principle. That is the sowing and reaping thing, but we're talking about what Jesus was saying when he said, so why did Jesus say, look, do to other people exactly what you would like to be done if the roles were reversed? Let me put it this way. You know, why should I love people who I'm pretty sure are not going to love me in return? If Jesus were asking the question, here's how he would say. He would say, why should I go to the cross and suffer and die if not everybody's going to accept me and believe in me? Now think about that. I mean, what if Jesus' attitude was, if everybody doesn't buy into it, I'm not doing it? But I think we all know, you know, according to Scripture, you know, narrow is the gate and all those kind of things. We all understand that the truth is probably most of the world is not going to follow him. And yet he went anyway. So obviously Jesus didn't say that. He didn't even think that. Why? Because he did not do what he did in order to get something in return, but he did it. Watch here. Here's the message. He did it for the exact same reason that you and I should do good to others, regardless of whether or not anything comes back to us. And here's what it is. He chose to do good because it was godly. Just think about that for a minute. He chose to do good because it was godly. That means it was God-like. In other words, because that's what God does. Right? So let me ask the question again. Why should we do good to others when there's nothing expected to come back to us? Because we get the opportunity in that moment of time to be what we can't be most of the time, which is, say it, godly. Amen. It's like when I am faced with a decision of what I'm going to do, it's like there's this circle that I can step into, and in this particular circle, when I make this choice to just simply do good, even though there's nothing can come back to me, the person may not even be able to give back to me, may not ever be able, may not be capable of it, may not be strong enough. In that moment, I get the opportunity to be as close to being like God as I'll ever be in my life. Now, think about that a minute. I am more like God in the moment that I do that, in the moment that I turn good into godly, I'm more like God then than all the scriptures I've ever memorized, all the Bible reading I've ever done, all the worship that I do, all those things. Those are all great things, and we should do all those things, all the prayer time, all the fasting, all those things. But in that moment of time, I get the opportunity to do something incredible, which is to be godly. Now, that's not just my opinion. Let me show it to you. This is actually what Jesus said. So, you know, talking about doing this, look, it's like this. Doing somebody a favor, things can be good without being godly. Let me say it this way. Things can be good without being godly, right? Doing somebody a favor, helping them at a time when they need it, with sort of the understanding that you owe me one, it's still good, right? Mm-hmm. It's still good to do that, but it's not godly because I'm expecting something back. It's still good. You know, Stephen is short money today, and I hand him, you know, $20 so that he can take his wife out because she's really not very nice if he doesn't. And no, he's short. He's a little short on money. And I loan him $20, 5% interest. And I need it by next Thursday, compounded daily. Look, it's still good to help him out because he needs it, right? It's still good to give to loan him the money, but it's not godly. Exactly. But if I say, hey, man, I got an extra $20. Not that one. Not that one. And I don't want it back. See, now.
That's not godly, Victoria. That's why I thought it had to be.
That's greedy. You misunderstood what I said. See, then it's godly. What I've done is I've taken something that was good and we make it godly. Isn't that an incredible thing? Let me show you here's how Jesus said it. He said it very clearly. We just sort of don't pay attention. You know, but you know, doing somebody a favor who cannot return it is godly. Take a look at Luke chapter 6, verse 32. Let's just continue to read this passage that Jesus was talking about. He said, look, if you love them which love you, what thank have you? In other words, what good does that do you? What credit do you think you're going to get for that? Because sinners also love those that love them. Right? See, I know that Sherry loves me. If I love her because she loves me, there's no real benefit to that. But if I go out and on purpose do the best I can to love somebody that does not love me, that's godly. If I love somebody who hates me, of course, I mean, there's very few. More than you think. That's godly. So if you love somebody, that's what point Jesus said. Jesus said, look, the truth of the matter is, look, Tom and I have been friends. Tom and I have loved each other for years. There is no more benefit to me as far as getting credit for the good. Because Tom and I are good for each other. We enjoy being together. We like doing things together. The reward for Tom and for me loving Tom at this point is simply the fact that we get to spend time together and it's enjoyable by both of us. So there's no more benefit. But if I choose to find somebody who does not already love me and love that person, that's where I become different from what? Who's the group that Jesus is comparing us to? Sinners. Now, again, we understand it was used in a different way back then, a little different meaning there. Let's go on. Verse 33. He said, look, if you do good to them, which do good to you, do you expect credit for that? Do you think God looks down on you and says, look, it's good, right? Hey, is it good to do good to them who do good to you? Yes or no? Sure it is. But it's not godly. But doing good to those who are not good to you. That's when we step into that circle and God says, in that moment, you are just like my son. You're just like Jesus because you just did something for somebody that is never going to do it back to you, never going to even be good to you, never going to be kind to you, never going to repay you, probably can't pay you, can't repay you. He said, you may not, you'll never get, look, again, this is the distinction here. We are not necessarily going to get rewarded on this earth for that. But is there any reward on this earth? Is there any amount of money? Is there any car? Is there any house? Is there any blessing here that would be as great as being able to, for at least a moment in my life, being like God? Where God looks down and says, just like me. You're just like me. Let's continue on. You'll see it here. Jesus is getting ready to say it very clearly here. Verse 34. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? He said, in other words, look, if you give them, loan money out, expecting to get it back, it's good. We already covered that, right? It's good, but it's not godly. For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. He said, you're really, if you're only good to the people who are good to you, you only love the people who love you, you're only loan to the people you think will pay you back, it's all good, but you're really no different than a lost man. You're really no different than just the average person walking the street. But, if you do it when you don't expect anything, if you don't, if you stop and say, look, here's what he's saying. If you would just stop and say, what would I want that person to do? Did you ever have somebody wrong you? Yeah. And you're going to deal with it. If we, and usually we want to deal with it publicly, right? Well, I'm just going to humiliate this person. Stop. And ask yourself, wait, how would I want this hand? If I wronged somebody, I'd sure like for them to be discreet. I'd sure like for them to wait and maybe just talk to me privately and forgive me. He said, that's what you do. That's what. And when you do that, you are godly. Look at verse 35 and we'll wrap this up. He said, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. Where? And what is your reward? He said, your reward is you shall be the children of the highest. You will be just like your father. You'll be a chip off the old block. God will look at you and say, that's my boy. That's my boy. That's my girl. They're doing just what I would do. And I don't know about, maybe, again, maybe that's so simple, but it seems like that would be a greater thing to hear from God than anything any of you could ever give to me or I could ever give to you, to be like God for just a moment of my life. Look, do you know, I could not be having a good week. I could be having a terrible week, spiritually speaking. I could be having trouble with anger or greed or, you know, these. I could be fighting with my spouse and I could be having bad thoughts and we could have all kinds of sin in our lives and really struggling in a time. But if we stop for a moment and just employ this principle, at least for one moment in that week, in the midst of all of our sin, we could still be godly. Taking what's good and making it godly. He said, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. We want to be like God? We have to be kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Amen. Be kind. So here's my challenge and I'm done. Here's my challenge. You know, as often as we can, this week, as often as we can throughout the week, if we could find some opportunities where we could rein ourselves in a little bit before we react, rein ourselves in before we make a decision, consider for a moment, what would I like for that person to do if I were in their shoes? What would I like to have happen to me if roles were reversed and we decide to do that? In that moment, we become godly. It's almost like a little private moment between just you and God. Look at me and I'm done, please. It's like this private little moment where it's just you and God. Nobody else is going to know. You know, you're my church and I want you to be proud of me. I want you to think that I do well. I really do. I want you to think highly of me. But it's not something that I would do to make you think. It would be something that's just between me and God, and it would be this special moment in the middle of my week where I'm sitting there and I take the time to do this and I can look up at heaven, and at least for that moment, I would feel like I can stand before the throne of God and he's proud of me. He's proud of me. What an amazing, amazing, simple thing that God has given to us. Because let's be honest, most of us thought that being godly, well, let's face it, we thought we had to be like Laura. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. True.
Some of us are never going to be like her. Never.
Amen.
But we can still be godly. Many, many moments throughout the week. You know, No, that's enough. You get it. We have multiple opportunities every single week. You know, when we take the opportunities that we have to be good, to be kind, to be generous, to be helpful, to come to somebody's rescue, to treat somebody in a way that they're not expecting because they're not expecting it because they don't usually get treated well.
Because they don't treat people well.
And yet you treat them well. Kindly, patiently. And in that moment, most special moment of your week, where God looks down on you and says, I am so, so proud of you.